Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Well, that's not what we're looking for.
Edit.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, you're freshly vaccinated. My life is in shambles. I'm almost an expert at restoring old wood, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your home decor website reading. I forgot to come up with my three things for getting. I just painted my nails and they're still wet and I've already ruined one of them, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the topic that I gave you an option to listen to last week if you had not chosen the Valentine's Day gifts, which was exploding head syndrome.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, has nothing to do with your head actually exploding like at a Gallagher show. It's more like a thing that happens as you're getting ready to sleep. It's fascinating and scary.
Well, I'm throwing my hands up in the air in frustration because I was really excited to listen to a topic about people's brains exploding.
Also, I'm really excited that I was able to work in a reference to Gallagher, a comic who hasn't been like relevant for, I don't know, 20 years.
You know, sometimes when you reference things, I just sort of gloss over them because I just don't know.
You just don't know.
I just don't know. A lot of the cool stuff that you're into, I'm not cool.
Gallagher is like, not cool. Gallagher, do you even know who Gallagher is / was?
No, I don't. If Gallagher wasn't in an MKNA straight-to-video movie, I'm not aware.
Gallagher was a comic who would, his bit was, he would bring things on stage and then hit them with a sledgehammer, and people in the front rows had to wear ponchos, and they would get hit. That was really his whole shtick.
Actually, that sounds a lot like, what are those rooms that people rent to destroy things?
Oh, yeah, it's like that, but like it's just one dude, so you don't get to feel as satisfied because you're not actually doing anything. Kathleen, what is your topic this week?
Oh, shoot, I didn't even tell you. I'm talking about butterflies.
Oh!
I know. It's like so basic bitch of me. Like, oh, I have a butterfly. I don't actually have a butterfly
I
tattoo.
I do.
That's right, you do. I always forget. I don't know why my brain just keeps blocking out the fact that you have a butterfly
it's
tattoo.
Fine.
I just love butterflies. I read a really interesting article about how specifically male butterflies have been pretty savage lately when it comes to their semen. And butterflies are savage. That's my topic.
Okay, right on. So a couple of weeks ago, we had an email and we did a bonus episode about someone that we called Lady Catherine. And
yes,
you definitely want to go back and listen to that episode because I think it was really good. I'm really proud of it. And Lady Catherine, the gist of it, Kathleen, was...
Oh, actually, I think that the episode was titled, I Only Get Along With Guy Friends,
yeah,
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, it was something like that. And basically, Lady Catherine was saying, hey, I don't get along with women. My lady friends are boring and shallow. Mm. I like things like philosophy and science, not shoes. And am I ever going to be able to get along with these women, basically?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I know, Kathleen, we dove into it a little bit, right?
We did a deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first time we read the letter, we were turned off by Lady Catherine. We're like, what is she smoking?
Yeah, we were a little
with her.
You know, because she didn't mean to come at us, but sort of started the letter off a little aggressively. Like, I hated your podcast until I learned to love it.
Yeah, so she wrote us, what's in the email? What did she say in the email?
So she followed up after we did the episode, and she sent a really lovely email. She said, thanks for taking the time to read the letter and give such wonderful insight and advice. You hit so many things I never even realized were things that I really need to look into and understand. So Kathleen, one of the things we had mentioned is that she seemed to have some internalized misogyny. She seemed to really not like women.
Yeah.
And she said in this email, when you first mentioned that, my first reaction was, what? No way. I actually stick up for women and the double standards we have to deal with. But upon further self-reflection, especially after you ladies talked about stereotype threat, I realized that I must have some internalized misogyny, and it makes me so sad to realize, however, so excited to deal with it and become a better person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about taking criticism and just opening your heart and being like, okay, I will process this and I won't reject it right off the bat.
Totally. It's so easy to get really defensive when someone gives feedback. And
yeah,
a credit to her. She also said, Kathleen, that you were pretty right on when you guessed that she had been hurt before, probably by women. She said,
no, you said that.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she said, it made me understand that I never actually differentiated who I was hurt by in the past. I had just had a lot of terrible things happen with friendships, but I never fully realized that the majority of my hurt growing up came from other girls. That was such a huge eye-opener for me. Not that it excuses any of my behaviors or how I viewed things, but it did make me understand why I developed such construed thoughts about female friendships.
Wow.
So, and she kind of describes something that happened. She had a couple of girls, one who she thought was her really close friend, and both of those girls sort of turned on her, and her friend didn't stand up for her in that moment.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of hurt.
It's stuff like that where you don't even realize it affects you way into your adult life.
Yeah.
I have to say that recently I cut a huge chunk out of the podcast about how I was in a fight with a really close friend. And I was like, Bethany, next time that I need you to be my therapist, like tell me that we need to cut this out of the podcast. Anyway, we cut it out. I made up with this friend and it is reminding me of Lady Catherine because my friend was like, listen, I thought about it from your perspective. I am not perfect. Like, I'm here and open to criticism, and I would like to move, you know, through this. And it's something that I want to become better at. I want to become more open to criticism, like really hear what people have to say to me when I do something that they don't like or something that they disagree with, and then move through it, you know?
Kathleen, I have to say you're getting very good at it. Because someday we'll talk.
We've been fighting so much lately.
You and I have been fighting so much. And we've been like working through it. As of this recording, you and I are in a great place. Would you not agree?
Yes. Yes, we're in a fantabulous place.
Yeah. And we've had pretty, like two pretty big fights since the beginning of the year.
T-shirt
gate. And,
and captions.
And caption gate.
Captions on videos. But I mean, in the scheme of things, Bethany, are those really big things?
No, like, they're not. They're not at all. But one thing, Kathleen, I have to say, I've been very impressed with you is that when I tell you how I'm feeling or when I tell you what my frustration is, you hear it and you say, you know what? You're right about this. You're wrong about this. And here's why. But when there's something that you see that maybe my perspective wasn't, how do I say this? Like when you're like, oh, you know what, Bethany, you are right. You're able to say that when I don't know if Kathleen a few years ago would have been able to say you're right. Like old Kathleen dug her heels in no matter what.
And old Kathleen would have been like, okay, I'm dissolving this business. Goodbye.
And you're like getting so good. But like there are also times when I'm very wrong and you know it and you stick to your guns in those moments. So I'm very proud of you.
Gentle listener, let this be the year. I know we're already like February is done, but let this be the year that we hear criticism and open our hearts to
totally,
it.
Totally.
I am vaccinated.
Kathleen, you got your first dose.
I got my first dose. Let me tell you. So the last bonus that we posted, I talked about how I was nervous to go to the doctor because I know my BMI is a little too high and blah, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, today I got through my whole physical. It was totally fine. Like the doctor was like, okay, well, I think you need to move more. And I was like, yeah, I think I agree with that. and then at the end of it he's like, hey, so you want this vaccine or what?
because I don't see any change in you, but you say you've put on weight since the pandemic began.
Yes I have, and so my BMI is above whatever the range is that qualifies you for early vaccine. So you know what, I'm just like, I was sitting there, I was like, baby girl, don't fight it. Like, take it where you can get it. And so I was like, today, right now, they're like, yeah, let's go check the back and we'll see if we have enough. And I was like, okay.
Did they have it in the back of the, did it fall off a truck? That language is like Canal Street language.
I mean, I am from New Jersey, so it's just the way we do business here.
I guess.
And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. But I'm feeling very guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling vaccination guilt right now because my mother, who's 74, and my husband, who has multiple sclerosis, like they haven't yet been vaccinated. But me, who like can't lay off the Oreos, qualify.
So why?
I know.
Why
I'm making jokes about it, but you know.
Why have they not been able to get vaccinated?
It's just hard. It's very hard in New Jersey, and I have no criticism for how they're distributing them. Mm-hmm. Other than, like, if you're a smoker, should you really qualify? But like,
it's that tough thing where smoking definitely affects your respiratory system and your ability to fend off, you know, you're things like bronchitis. Right. And so, but also smoking is something you do to yourself. So
I mean.
It's hard.
I guess I shouldn't be criticizing the smokers because me with a slightly high BMI like got her first dose today. So I don't know. Neil was like, you probably shouldn't talk about it. You probably shouldn't talk about getting vaccinated because people are going to be mad because they need it and they want it and they haven't been able to get it.
There will be people who are mad for sure.
And listen, you have every right to be mad. If you have a serious illness, I mean, my husband has multiple sclerosis and I have the vaccine before him for being a little jiggly. I mean, it's just you have every right to be mad. The system is not perfect. The system is broken in many ways. Mm. But I said to Neil, I said, I'm definitely going to talk about it. Because these are the types of conversations about healthcare that we have to have.
Yeah, I was checking up on just like recent news. And one of the things I always read is Page Six because I always like to see if someone I know is in trouble.
Oh, don't you love that?
Just to see like who do I know who got into trouble. When
someone you went to high school with got arrested and someone puts it on Facebook. And you're like, oh, shit. Why did you put that on Facebook? And they're like, oh, you guys remember Dan? Dan got arrested for embezzling.
But one person who is coming under fire is Amanda Klutz, just got the vaccination. If you don't know who she is, she's a TV personality, but her husband was Nick Cordero. He was in Waitress. He was a Broadway actor.
Oh, yes. Incredibly talented. He passed away from COVID.
Yeah, and he passed away after a very, very, very long fight with COVID. Yeah. And he was in a coma and he was doing better. And then he wasn't. And she reportedly waited in her car until everyone in this one wave of people got vaccinated just in case there were any left over. And so she waited for like hours and hours in her car. And then there was enough left over for her to get one. And so she got the first one and people are like very angry about it. You know, and I can see both sides. Like she did wait just to see if there were leftovers and but also like, you know, there are other people who probably need it more.
I wonder if she posted on social that she got it.
She did. Yeah. She posted a picture of the injection going in.
That's the case. Well, maybe you shouldn't be posting that you got it.
I know. I mean, it is. It's risky. It's risky. And also because
I don't know why I said that like an old timey reporter. I don't know. But like, okay, like come at me. Like my BMI is high and I qualify. So technically I qualify. So I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what people say. But
if had a more deserving person been waiting on the sidewalk, I would have pulled that more deserving person in and said, please vaccinate this person instead. Yeah. But that's not how it all works. Unfortunately.
Well, Kathleen, should we get started on the stellar topics of butterflies and exploding head syndrome?
We shall, my friend.
Okay.
We shall.
Let's do it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I'm very excited to talk to you about my topic today.
You came in excited, and I'm excited to hear it. Tell me everything.
Now, you might be noticing that I am wearing my butterfly jacket again.
Yes. I just assumed it was comfortable, and you really liked it. I like it.
Thank you. I like it, too. Even though every time I put it on, I'm like, oh, I should remember to cut the shoulder pads out. But, you know, c'est la vie. Today, my topic is cool shit about butterflies.
Amazing. Tell me everything about butterflies.
I am now the proud owner of a subscription to newscientist.com to the tune of $25 for 12 weeks.
Oh My gosh. For only 12 weeks?
Please expect every topic that I do from now until roughly sometime in April to be about science.
Whoa. Okay. Now, tell me this. Did you subscribe to this because you're interested in more science, or did you subscribe to this because you wanted the butterfly info that they had behind a paywall?
Paywall. Yeah. But I think that I'm really going to enjoy this.
I mean, it's, you know, that sounds interesting.
Anyway, butterflies.
Butterflies.
Butterflies are a tale as old as time. They and their moth counterparts date back to the dinosaur era. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Isn't that funny?
So they are related to moths. Do they have a common ancestor?
Yes, they do.
Okay, cool.
And actually, this just came out a couple days ago. This guy in Germany, his name is Joachim Hogg of the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich. He was browsing eBay and was like, hey, look at this cool fossil on eBay from Myanmar. And he bought it. And it turns out that the fossil was 100 million years old.
Whoa.
And it proved that caterpillars back in dinosaur era had spikes on their back to protect them.
Hell yeah, they did. Everything was more badass and metal back in the, you know, dinosaur era.
Dinosaur era. Imagine if babies had spikes to protect them.
It's like porcupines where they, you know, like if you pet them one direction, it's soft. But if you pet them the other, the needles get in you.
Like those roadblocks when they don't want you driving backwards.
Yes. Yes. Don't back up. Don't try to not pay the toll.
And so butterflies, I have to tell you, they are very L.A.
They're very L.A.?
They're very L.A. because butterflies are on an all liquid diet.
Great.
I wrote that joke ahead of time. You like it? Most adult butterflies can't bite or chew. They have a liquid diet consisting of nectar, sap, juices, and fruits, and fluids from carcasses.
I don't think I've ever seen a butterfly hovering over a dead body, but I've also never seen a dead body.
I'm going to go more into that later, but this really grosses me out. So they have these like really long tongues that kind of look like tubes.
These are their proboscis?
Yes, and so it's rolled up like a garden hose inside of their mouths, and then when they want to drink, it unrolls. And there's this one moth called the Morgan Sphinx moth. Its proboscis is 12 to 14 inches long.
So why is it so gross? Why is that so gross? But it's so gross.
Here's a really fun fact that I couldn't pass over from mentalfloss.com about butterflies. They eat poop and drink tears. Okay. Butterflies, like I just said, they don't only drink nectar from flowers. Many of them consume a host of revolting things, from poop to urine to decaying animal flesh. They'll even drink the tears of reptiles to get some much-needed sodium.
Whoa.
I know, right? Like, butterflies are kind of savage.
Are those reptiles alive or dead?
They're alive because they're producing tears.
And they're not irritated by the butterfly's proboscis going into their tear duct?
I don't think that they have a choice. The proboscis does what the proboscis wants to do.
That's a t-shirt.
And actually, there are some scientists who will spit on a piece of tissue paper and put it on the ground. This method is known as the Ahrenholz technique. And butterflies are attracted to these saliva-soaked tissues because it looks like bird poop and because they get nutrients like sodium from bird poop.
Can they drink our spit, or is it like a bait and switch for those poor butterflies?
It's a bait and switch. It's a
bait and that's switch. Sad.
Oh, also, like before I move on from their diets, I just want to tell you that butterflies drink from mud puddles too.
You know what? Who of us hasn't?
A butterfly will occasionally sip from a mud puddle to get minerals and salts. This behavior is called puddling.
Look, sometimes you're drunk and you're thirsty,
yeah.
You're naked and you're afraid, and you need some water.
In male butterflies, they particularly need to puddle because minerals help with their sperm.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I just feel like I've been really screwed out of a cool experience because I've been by many mud puddles and I've never seen a butterfly drinking out of those either.
No.
Or moths.
Why? Because we live in a city.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Have you ever been to a butterfly exhibit where you walk into like this thing and there are all these butterflies around and they touch you? No,
but I wish.
I've been
That's
to
my
one.
Dream. Is it cool?
It's so cool. I've been to more than one. Actually, butterflies are my thing lately. So like, do you, I know it's just like so suburban mom of me, but Do you have a thing? Like, I like butterflies. They are my most recent thing.
No, that's great. I think it's like...
Do you collect like cow patterned things? Roosters, cookie jars shaped like roosters?
No, I mean, the danger with that is once people know you have a thing...
I know.
That's all you get.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you get. And so if I did have a thing, I don't know if I would even tell anybody because I don't want, you know, a million little statues of whatever my thing would be.
I used to be into owls and people were giving me owl things for a long time. Yeah. Then it was pineapples.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I still think of you whenever I see pineapples.
Not my thing. Think of me when
it's
you see butterflies.
Not your thing anymore? Okay.
No, okay.
That's good to know. You should always update your thing.
So here's an interesting article. This is the article that sparked it all. The decline of people who collect butterflies. This hobby is basically not in existence anymore like it used to be in the olden time. Because you think of people like going out to collect butterflies. You think of like a pastime of Victorian era gentlemen and women.
Yeah. They would have a net.
Yeah, they'd have like a net. They would come home. They would put it in their display.
Which is like, so like awful and sad. I'm glad people aren't collecting butterflies anymore.
Well, so here, that is your attitude. But it's that attitude that's threatening research for butterfly conservation. Because researchers would study all of these collections from museums, like collections from the 1800s, collections from the early 1900s, and they could test DNA of these dead butterfly carcasses to help figure out more about how butterflies will survive in the future moving forward.
Maybe they should just be collecting their own butterflies instead of expecting us civilians to be doing all their work for them. What am I paying your mortgage here? You got to collect your own damn butterflies. Lazy?
It's a really interesting reason why this hobby has declined. There's a woman from King's College in London. Her name is Erica Fisher. And so she studied butterfly specimens, over 1.4 million specimens in the United States from museums throughout the country. And she figured out that there was an influx, an 82% increase in butterfly specimens between the years 1940 and 1960 for a really strange reason. And that is because butterfly specimen collections were driven by college-educated veterans who received free tuition after the Second World War, and they were very into collecting butterflies. Maybe it was relaxing.
Maybe, yeah. You know, the art of trying to find them. You get to be outside a lot. You know, you're back home from the war and you're not wanting really to be around your family anymore.
You just want to go look at butterflies.
Might as well. It's an excuse to go out with your bros and just like not be around your wives.
So in 1990, in the 1990s, it was an extreme dip in the amount of collected butterfly specimens. Like the 1990s was like, buy butterflies.
We're people were watching Real World. We had better things to do.
And so it got me thinking, like, I'm going to take a little detour here for a second. People don't collect anything anymore. Like, do you collect anything? Like, remember precious moments?
Yeah, I do. I think the last big wave of collectors were Beanie Baby collectors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, your average person, I don't see people really collecting anything in earnest.
Not people our age, anyway.
No. No. I mean, my grandfather had a coin collection, you know, and I'm sure people still do that. But part of me wonders if we know that nothing's really going to be worth money someday. Our parents raised us with like, collect these Beanie Babies. These will, you know, go up in price, or collect these baseball cards. But now because of eBay and the internet, anyone can find anything. And so the value, I feel like, goes down. And so what's the point of collecting if it's not going to be worth something someday?
And also the internet.
Yeah.
Like anything we need to find.
Yeah.
We can find on the internet. I think collecting things for our parents and grandparents, it was a form of entertainment.
Yeah, and the hunt. It was looking and searching. Yeah. And we just – now if you want an album, you just go on eBay or Amazon and get the album. You don't have to go from record store to record store and try to find it.
Who buys albums? I subscribe to Amazon Music.
I mean, a couple of years ago when we were allowed to leave the house – Dennis was looking for a specific series of David Bowie albums.
Yeah.
And we went into the East Village and we went from record store to record store until we found the albums he was looking for. And that was really fun because then when you find them, it's way more exciting than when something just comes in the mail because you bought it for $16 on eBay.
No, that sounds tedious. There's so many other things you could be doing with your time than walking through record stores, like going on the internet.
I know, but we got our steps in and it was sure fun. We learned a lot about each other.
Okay, back to butterflies.
Okay.
To solve this problem, scientists have started asking people who photograph butterflies to, if they legally can, collect butterflies.
So kill the butterfly. Your face says yes. Your face is saying yes, and your silence also says yes.
I think that they're like, oh, if you see a dead butterfly carcass, bring it back.
I don't think so. I think they want you to take it, and while it's still alive, pin it to a board and have it slowly die.
I think I might start a butterfly collection, but please only if they're dead.
Only if they're dead. Please
only
don't.
If they're dead.
Please don't, like, oh, it's so, I don't know. I've always thought it was so barbaric.
I know, but I really do like memory boxes with butterflies in them. I think they're beautiful.
They sell them at the Met, but they might be faux.
Here's another good fact.
Okay.
There are 20,000 species of butterflies on this world.
Ooh, I like that for them.
That's a lot of butterflies. Only 750 of them exist on continental America. That's like a fraction.
Oh, we just have a small percent. Where are the rest of them?
In warmer parts of the world. And did you know that butterfly wings are transparent, even when they don't look transparent?
How is that possible?
Okay, let me tell you. Our untrained eye knows butterflies as perhaps one of the most colorful and vibrant insects around.
Yes.
But actually, their wings are covered by tiny scales, and these scales reflect color. So underneath all of the scales, a butterfly's wing is actually formed by layers of chitin, which is the same protein that makes up an insect's exoskeleton, and it's so thin that you can see right through it.
I remember being taught as a little kid, never touch a butterfly wing.
Yes, I did too.
I never knew why.
Well, here's the thing. That's an old wives' tale that you can't touch a butterfly.
Really?
Because butterflies, yes, they should be handled very carefully. But there is an article, and I'm going to include all of my links in the show notes. There's an article by a butterfly tagger, which is someone who tags butterflies for a living so they can track their migration. And this person said that butterflies should still be handled carefully, but even the most sensitive of butterflies are still pretty sturdy.
Aw, they're like babies.
Yeah, stronger because than you think. Have chunks taken out of their wings from birds, and they still survive and they fly about.
That's awful.
It's cool.
How can you fly with a chunk taken out of your wing? I feel like then the air goes right through it, and how do you fly? There's so many things. I don't know.
Same reason that a human missing a toe can still walk.
No, I don't feel like that's exactly the same.
You adapt.
Yeah, but you can't fly if there's
Or when someone loses
wings.
Their hair, they still live. You adapt.
Right, but your ability to fly isn't based on your hair. Wind is going to go through your wing. If there's a hole in it, you can't lift up. You're going to fly in a circle.
So butterfly tagging is actually pretty cool. It basically means they hold this butterfly up and they put this thing on the wing. It's a lightweight circular tag with an adhesive backing, and it has a unique code. So there are like millions of butterfly tags out there for scientists to scan this code and see where this butterfly traveled.
That's like when they tried to do that Where's George thing where they would put a stamp on a dollar bill with a unique number and you would try to like track where your dollar bill had gone.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think it was for dollar bills. I don't think it really took off, but you could type in your dollar bill serial number to the where'sgeorge.com. I wonder if it's still active. And you could be like, oh, my dollar bill, you know, was in D.C. and now it's in Minnesota.
Yeah, but who's taking the time to scan that stuff?
Exactly. That's, I think, where it didn't go. Where'sgeorge.com.
In the meantime, I'm here to tell you that a butterfly, some of the largest species, their wingspan can be up to a foot long.
I love that.
Scary, but cool.
Prehistoric.
It's like when you see a human that's really tall, you're like, oh, do you play basketball?
Yeah. Hey, butterfly, you play basketball?
Hey, butterfly, do you fly commercial?
By the way, where'sgeorge.com is definitely still going on.
Really?
Yeah.
You should go get dollar bills right now. Dollar bill, yo. Okay. Here is also another reason why butterflies are savages. Butterflies backstab and rob the ants that protected them when they were caterpillars. Okay.
That's awful.
So there's a specific type of butterfly called the middle mark butterfly. And they somehow sucker ants into babysitting them when they're tiny little caterpillars that can't, you know, protect themselves from predators. Basically, they have this, it's really gross, this sugary secretion that they like produce. And they're like, here, ants, get some nutrients from our sugary secretions. Ugh. And then the ants are like, cool, Yeah, we'll eat your sugary secretions, and in return, we'll also babysit you and protect you from predators.
Yeah, because we want more of those sweet, sweet sugary secretions.
Yeah. When a Middlemark butterfly becomes an adult, it has now won over all the local ants, but then it steals the ants' food and doesn't let them have any. It, like, robs the ant of their foods.
No good deed goes unpunished.
No, and the ants, they're so nice. They're like, okay, maybe this is a friendly takeover. We'll just wait our turn. Oh. And then their turn never comes.
Oh, that's so sick. God, nature is awful. This is why I don't like it. It's so mean and awful. It's like politics.
Yeah, you're right. It is like politics. But now I see why scientists become scientists. This is really interesting stuff.
Oh, man. And the hardest part is you're not supposed to intervene, you know? So it's like you have to watch these ants starve to death. You can't do anything.
And while these butterflies, who were once protected by these ants, are like, nom, nom, nectar, you don't get any little ant friends.
Yeah.
All right, to add insult to injury, butterflies also will sometimes disguise themselves as ants to evade other predators.
How? They don't look anything like ants.
Butterflies can change their can they change their colors?
How do they look like ants? Hang on a second.
How do butterflies?
They're also much bigger than ants.
Change their colors. I'm here to tell you. I found it. This is how butterflies can camouflage themselves, by folding up their wings to reveal their undersides. And it's a strategy known as crypsis. Sometimes they can become invisible to predators, and other times they can look like other insects.
So they just look like giant ants.
Yeah. Sometimes wow. These Middlemark butterflies.
Wow.
What would you like to fold yourself up into to disguise yourself as in the line of danger?
I think a streetlight, because no one's going to want to eat you. No one wants to use you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even like an old timey phone booth, no one's actually making phone calls. But if they are, you don't want them all up in you. So yeah. I'm going to say no one wants to bother a light pole, you know?
I think that's an excellent answer. I'm trying to think of mine.
I mean, even like in Bridgerton, apparently they totally forgot to make the streetlights look not current.
Oh,
like,
really?
Streetlights are so just like invisible that you forget to look at them and see if they're of the Regency period or not. Like, that's why. What about you? What would you be? Don't be a baguette. Someone's going to eat you.
I know. And then the birds will peck at me. I'm going to disguise myself as a crack in the sidewalk.
Good. Kathleen, yep. Good. That's good. No one's going to step on you unless they hate their mother's back.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You just stay low and you stay hidden.
Just
crack in the sidewalk.
My lips can already do it. My lips can disappear into my face.
My knuckles can, man. They're dry as hell.
So savage butterflies. They only live for a few weeks. Is that not the saddest thing you've ever heard?
No.
Yeah. The average lifespan of an adult butterfly is roughly 3 to 4 weeks. However, their entire life cycle can last anywhere in between 2 and 8 months. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule, but there is at least one species of butterfly that only lives for 24 hours.
No. Tell your secrets to that one.
The most common butterfly in the United States is called a cabbage white. Should we look it up?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought butterflies lived for years. I thought they like migrated. Don't monarch butterflies migrate?
They do. They migrate on the Pacific coast, mostly, I believe, but they only live for 8 months.
Shut up. What an I mean, you have to spend part of that short lifespan traveling. That's awful.
Cabbage white butterflies. What? That's so boring. Of course, in America, cabbage white butterflies are the most prevalent butterfly. Boring white butterfly.
This country is built on white.
It is. It's built on white butterflies, apparently. The cabbage butterfly is not the most colorful butterfly,
no.
But it has two prominent black spots on each wing.
Cool. So it's like a dice.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, the male has one. The female has two. Oh, cool.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Together they make 3 or 6.
When two become
plus
one.
Three. Yeah.
Have you ever known someone who is afraid of butterflies?
Yes.
Who?
I don't remember, but I know someone. I have a friend who was afraid, but I don't remember which friend. But they're like, I remember, or maybe it's a podcast I listened to. I don't remember, but they were talking about these the butterfly like conservatories, and they like almost passed out from fear of the idea of butterflies coming and landing on you. I think there's something about the crawliness of their tiny legs And the fact that they can kind of go anywhere,
yes,
and get all up in your hair.
And it's the flutter effect because there's no pattern to how they fly.
Yeah.
So you don't know where they're going to go next.
Yeah, they're like rogue helicopters, but much smaller.
Like why cats are sometimes afraid of toddlers because there's no rhyme or reason to their teeter-tottering.
It's true. Toddlers are fucking scary.
The fear of butterflies is called leptodopterophobia. Leptodopterophobia. There you go.
Say it a third time and it's yours.
Lepidopterophobia. Lepidopterophobia. Huh. Butterflies can't fly if they're cold.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So butterflies need an ideal body temperature of 85 degrees Fahrenheit to fly. And since they're cold-blooded animals, they can't regulate their own body temperatures. As a result, the surrounding air temperatures have a big impact on their ability to function. So if the air temperature falls below 55 degrees Fahrenheit, butterflies are rendered immobile and they're unable to flee from predators.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah. Because of this, butterfly migration and where butterflies are going that they haven't gone before is an excellent way for scientists to track climate change.
Sure, that makes total sense.
Yeah, butterflies serve as an early indicator for the impact of climate change because they are bellwethers. Now, do you know the definition of bellwether? I had to look this up. I thought it's so cool.
I think I've heard it in use, but I've never really thought of it before.
Bellwether means someone or something who's a leader or an indicator. Because if you think of a flock of sheep, they follow the one with the bell on the neck.
Is that where it comes from?
Yes.
Where does weather come from?
Well, it's weather, W-E-T-H-E-R.
Bellwether.
Yeah. The leading sheep of a flock with a bell on its neck, aka an indicator or predictor of something.
That's super interesting.
So butterflies are bellwether creatures for climate change.
I had no clue.
There is this particular butterfly named the long-tailed blue butterfly. It's gorgeous. You should look it up. It has these like stringy tails on its wings that are like this iridescent blue color. Why'd you say, oh, that's beautiful?
I don't know. Stringy things.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one. It's common in Africa and Southern Europe, but recently it has ventured as far north as the UK. And that is worrisome to scientists because they're like, they should not be wanting to come up here. It's too cold for them up here. But they're like, oh, temperature is changing. Let us go visit the UK.
It's perfect, governor. Are beautiful.
Gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the like Canidae family.
I'm ready to go get a job as a butterfly conservatist.
Conservationist. I think you should. I wonder if there's some sort of volunteer situation that you could get involved in.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, even if it's just data entry, but you at least get to like type out all the fun names of all these different butterflies that they're tagging.
That would be the best thing to have on a profile for a dating site.
Like, yeah.
In my spare time, I save the butterflies.
Oh, that'd be really nice. You should get a butterfly tattoo. I have a butterfly tattoo. You should get one too.
When did you get that?
Oh my gosh. Over a decade ago. I've had it for a long time.
Now, what's the meaning behind it? Can you tell me?
It's a long story.
Okay. But does it have to do with changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly?
I mean, mostly it's like I really just wanted to get a tattoo and they were doing them for free at the radio station.
That's right. You got that live on air, didn't you?
Yeah, I got it live on air. No, wait, did I? Maybe. I think I did.
All right.
It was cool.
I'm going to answer one last question about butterflies that has literally been killing you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear what the question has been.
But wait, first I want to ask you, if you had to be a conservationist for something, what would you be a conservationist for?
Oh, panda cubs. Ooh. I just want to be the one who's in charge of making sure they get enough playtime in, you know? My favorite videos are like they're trying to feed the pandas and the panda babies are like just crawling all up them. And they're like, nope, got to put you down. And they're like crawling all up them again. Then they fall down a slide backwards because they're panda babies.
I don't know why I'm like emotional crying right now thinking about panda cubs.
They're the best. What would you conserve besides butterflies?
Kittens.
Yeah. Got to make sure those kittens get enough playtime.
But I feel like that's too ordinary to put on a dating profile as a fun fact about yourself.
Well, you certainly can't put dolphin trainer because if someone calls you on it, you have to block them. And that's a deep cut. And some of you know what I'm talking about.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Kathleen?
Yes.
What do you know about exploding head syndrome?
Is that when you learn something so cool, you're like,
it's not, but okay. Could be, but sounds like it should be. Have you ever heard of it before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it sounds metal as hell, but it actually has nothing to do with your head physically exploding.
Aw, man.
I know. Exploding head syndrome is actually something that happens to you when you're asleep or trying to sleep. And I think it's affected more people than realize that it has affected them.
I can't believe I've never heard of this before.
Yeah. So this is part of parasomnia. Parasomnia is a catch-all term for just strange behaviors that people go through prior to falling asleep or while they're asleep or as they're coming out of sleep. There's these two different stages. There's the stage of falling asleep and then the stage of coming out of sleep. And that's when a lot of hinky weird stuff can happen. So exploding head syndrome, also known as sensory sleep starts. People with this condition will hear a loud noise or they'll feel an exploding sensation in their head when they wake up. They also might see, quote unquote, see a flash of light that isn't actually there. They can make you feel terrified. You can think it's something that's actually happening. So a lot of people think that someone shot a gun in their house, or they'll wake up because they think a door has slammed, or they'll feel like an electrical pulse. And then all of a sudden they'll hear like, boom. And it's terrifying. It'd be really, really scary.
You know, now that I think about it, I have felt electrical pulses before when I'm trying to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden I'm like, boo, and I'm awake again.
Okay, so you've totally experienced this. You've most likely experienced this. I am not a doctor. I cannot diagnose, obviously, but it sounds really similar.
Yeah.
So you can hear the noises in one ear, in both ears. It can sometimes sound like it's coming from inside your head. And the first time it was described was 1876. A physician had two men describing hearing loud bells or a gunshot that would wake them up from sleep. The thing is, it's not dangerous. So the biggest danger to you is that it's stressful and it freaks you out because you just heard a fucking explosion in the middle of the night and you're wondering what's going on.
I've heard loud bangs in the middle of the night. And now that I'm thinking about it, it probably wasn't my cat.
I mean, it's hard to say when you have cats because it's 99% of the time they're the ones who knocked over a thing.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, my downstairs neighbor will just text me and go, cats, question mark? And I'll be like, yeah, they pushed over the bookcase because, you know, they've pushed over a bookcase.
I mean, are they like trying to be passive aggressive or are they trying to tell you to like quiet your elephant feet?
No, it's usually when something very loud has crashed and they're guessing correctly. It's the cats.
Can I derail you for just 1 second?
Sure.
A couple weekends ago, Neil and I had to be the get off my lawn people. Neil had to go upstairs and tell the kids upstairs, they're younger than we are, to stop stomping on the floor because we were trying to watch TV on a Saturday night.
Like, do people not even realize how loud they? I walk toe heel like a ballerina. Because I'm always living above people and I just have become a habit.
Well, they had friends over. Well, first of all, you shouldn't be doing that during COVID.
Yeah.
Second of all, it sounded like they were doing freaking Cotton Eye Joe on the floor if there was no carpet. I mean, it was real bad. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
I love that song so much. I love that song so much. I'm not one who normally slaps my knee and claps a lot, but like I will slap my knee and clap if Cotton Eye Joe comes on.
We should do a music video.
Oh, I love that song. Mm-hmm. Do we ever figure out what his deal was?
Cotton Eye Joe?
Yeah, where did he come from and where did he go? Do we know? I don't know. Okay, so here are some other things. So in an interview with BBC.com, a gentleman named Niels Nielsen said, quote, there's this sudden crescendo of noise, then a profound and jarring explosion of sound, electrical fizzing, and a bright flash in my vision like someone has lit a spotlight in front of my face. Others have described it like a bomb going off next to their head as they fall asleep. And then about 10% of people who experience this also get visual disturbances. So they'll see visual static. They'll see flashes of light or lightning. Some people will get heat or feelings in their torso, like tingling. Or they'll get like a feeling of tingling that starts from their body and goes up into their head. And then they'll get the sound that occurs.
And this has never happened to you?
No, this has happened to me. I've heard the door slam. I'll hear door slamming.
Yeah.
And I'll wake up. And it's like... I can tell it came from my head.
I'm really freaked out about you just describing like the fizzing in your toes that goes all the way up to your head.
Yeah.
Like, that's some crazy shit.
And the crazy thing is that this is not terribly well researched. From what I could find, and I'll put all my sources in the notes, there's several proposed ideas as to why this happens, but I wasn't able to find anything that said for sure this is what causes it. Some proposed ideas were that they were an ear disorder or partial epileptic seizures. But the thing that seems the most logical to me, at least, is a few small studies were done. They monitored people's brain activity overnight, and they showed that there might be a burst of activity in your brain that coincides with this reported explosion. Hmm. It happens when you are going from like being fully awake to being fully asleep. So have you ever had that thing happen where you're starting to fall asleep and your body just jerks you awake?
Yes. What is that?
One of the theories is that it's a natural part of your body's transition from alertness to sleep. So your nerves either misfire, or I've heard it said that like your body, your brain, your conscious brain doesn't want to give over full control to being, you know, asleep and thus not in control. And so it like jerks you back. I've had dreams where I'm riding a bike and I watch myself falling off the bike and I'll jerk awake right as I hit the ground, that kind of thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's another idea that... Yeah. Like most things like this, it's all evolution. Yeah. These hypnagogic, I don't know if that's a hard or a soft G, but these jerks are an ancient primate reflex that is responding to the relaxation of our muscles. So as we're starting to fall asleep and our muscles are relaxing, the brain misinterprets that relaxation as a sign that the sleeping primate is falling out of a tree. And so our lizard brains, our, you know, old primate brain jerks us awake so we don't fall out of the tree.
This happens to me all the time.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Do you have dreams that come with it, or do you just like jerk awake and then go back to bed?
I jerked awake the other day when, okay, like this sounds so crazy, Bethany. I was at Blythe Danner's house.
Okay.
And I was trying to pack up my stuff, but my body wouldn't move. I like couldn't pack up fast enough. And Blythe Danner was like, get out of here. You don't live here anymore. This is my house.
Anymore.
And then Gwyneth showed up, and then I jerked awake.
Oh, just when she showed up.
Yeah, I know. But I do. Whenever I fall asleep on the couch, I sometimes jerk awake. Does this happen to you often?
Not as much anymore. When I was a kid, it happened all the time. Those bike dreams happened a ton.
You know, I've been reading a lot more about sleep anxiety lately because I think it's more articles have been written about trouble falling asleep because I think of the pandemic. And I was reading that some people have trouble falling asleep because, and this is ties into what you're saying, because their brain doesn't want to give up control of the time, like especially if your day was spent servicing other people and doing things that you don't necessarily want to do, but they're your responsibility. Your brain has trouble giving up control at night when you finally have control of your time.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And that's why you can't fall asleep.
It's like, no, I don't want to go because I finally have time for me. Why are you making me leave or whatever?
I wonder if there's a taste bud listening to this right now who experiences this stuff all the time and has always just chalked it up to weird dreams. And now they have a name for it.
I'm sure. It's really, really interesting. So
I want to go get a job as an intern in one of those sleep facilities where they watch people sleep at night.
I mean, you have to stay up all night. Are you down for that?
I could do it.
It's not like you sleep anyway. That's a good point. Ironically, you'd be great at a sleep study because you don't sleep. So also normally, you know, like when you're going to sleep, your body shuts down and then paralyzes itself, right? That's why if you dream things, you don't get up and start running like you do in your dreams.
Yeah.
My sources say that like during this transition from being awake to being asleep, your brain turns off bit by bit. But with exploding head syndrome, there's a hiccup in the part of the brain that's responsible for overseeing the shutdown. So that results in a delay in switching off in some areas. So when it normally would be like gently shutting down, something happens that prevents it from shutting down all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get that thing.
You know, think about this. You're stranded someplace very dangerous. There's a group of four of you. You have to take turns staying up at night to make sure you're not attacked.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense that your brain goes back to that primitive time where you jerk awake when you think you hear something.
It's like being terrified of being vulnerable because vulnerability means that you can be hurt, both emotionally, but also like literally physically.
You can fall out of a tree.
You can fall out of a tree. I posted a video to my Instagram last week of Loki, my cat, like smooshing his face up against me and purring. Yeah. And at the beginning of the video, he's purring and then he jerks his head up and sort of bleary-eyed looks around. And he does this because he's letting himself get so vulnerable by smooshing his face up against me and purring that he freaks out and pulls away to make sure he's not being attacked. It's fascinating to watch. So let's talk about some of the weird.
Yeah.
So in 2015, Helen Thomas wrote an article for BBC.com who says there's a new theory that the condition and related sleep disturbances of exploding head syndrome may help explain apparently unrelated cultural phenomena, specifically alien abductions, government conspiracy theories, and supernatural demons. Let's talk about it.
So people aren't really being abducted. Their brains are just exploding. Their heads are exploding.
Right. So spooky sleep disorders, things like exploding head syndrome, things like sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
They make you feel like you are awake, but you cannot move your body. And some people believe that these could explain apparently supernatural events. A man named Brian Sharpless, who is an assistant professor of psychology at Washington State University, he's a real bummer about possible alien abduction. Well, we're just going to like say this right.
His last name is Sharpless.
Right. Like
you're not sharp.
Right. So he says,
I don't know.
I'm going to yes and you and I agree. So he says, take a look at supernatural or alien stories, and you can see hints of both sleep paralysis and exploding head syndrome. He says, people sense these explosions in their heads, and they may think that they've had something implanted in their brain, which is what people who say they've experienced alien abductions have. They've like had something implanted. Or he says they feel this surge of electricity and they think that they've been shot by some kind of new energy weapon. They can't move, but they hear and see strange things and they think they've been abducted. Now, I think this is total bullshit. I think that people who experience things where they feel they've been abducted are experiencing things far more traumatic than like, oh, I heard a shot and saw a light. They're seeing and experiencing like awful, scary things. I don't think it's like exploding head syndrome. I think Brian Sharpless maybe is protesting too much.
I, Bethany, I might agree with him.
What?
The brain can do crazy shit.
Yeah, but there are people who are positive they've been abducted by aliens who describe some of the most frightening, awful things, like turning to the side and locking eyes with someone else who is there and like feeling rushes of psychic information put into their head, being in so much pain, being freezing cold, not being able to move their bodies, seeing things that have been corroborated with other people who have seen things.
That might be one of the scariest situations, turning over in your bed and you open your eyes and there's someone that you don't expect to be there just staring at you.
God, it's awful. It's like college.
Oh, God, I just got the chills thinking about it. It's like college. You had a more exciting time in college than I did, man.
I once made out with this dude. Okay, so I had a crush on this dude.
Yeah.
And then he introduced me to his RA, his like, you know, dorm room resident advisor. Mm-hmm. And even though I had a crush on the one dude, I made out with his RA because his RA looked just like Lance Bass. And his name was Tom and he was from Poland.
You're a naughty girl.
I know. Okay, let's talk about treatment.
Okay.
Not a lot you can do. So they say that a lot of it is could be stress or anxiety.
Yeah.
Other pre-existing sleep disorders. Sleep aids might help. There's a couple of antidepressants that might help. You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's really like there's not a lot you can do. But let's but I want to talk about the creepy things that have happened and the experiences people have had. So the reason I was thinking about this is because Dennis texted me a couple of weeks ago and said, I had the most frightening thing happen to me overnight and I don't know what it was.
Baby girl, you should have led with this at the top of the hour.
Did I bury the lead?
You buried the lead.
With exploding head syndrome, it's not always a bang. There are other things. Some people have reported voices or things that sound like voices. Kathleen, I'm going to play for you Dennis's reenactment of what he heard in his head that woke him up, okay?
Okay.
It's like this awful, like Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter sort of like kind of noise. He heard that in his brain.
He needs to start writing this stuff down and write himself a trilogy horror novel based on his exploding head. I'm looking at this website, sleepeducation.org, and people also say it could be like cymbals crashing right in front of your face.
Awful. So then I went to Reddit because that's what you do. Someone said that they heard their roof caving in. Someone said, it sounds like someone's trying to break down my wall. One person said, I've had exploding head syndrome for almost a year now. They experience flashing colors.
That I wonder what triggers it.
They say it can be stress. It can be if you haven't been sleeping well. So if you have like some other pre-existing sleep disorder, it can be a problem.
Imagine how maddening if one day it just started happening every single night.
Oh, God. And you're terrified to go to bed.
Oh, my God.
Because you're like, I don't know if I'm going to hear tonight. So then I started writing down other just like creepy sleep stories because I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So somebody on Reddit wrote, a year ago, I was thinking of a Queen song and singing it in my head. But then the song right out of my memory started playing so loud, like I had headphones cranked to the max on. And two other people said they experienced this too. So instead of a loud noise, they heard blaring music in their head that wasn't from anywhere.
I would stop, drop, and roll. I don't know what I would do.
It's awful. Even if it's a song you like, if I hear Baby One More Time in my own head at 3 a.m, the witching hour, I would lose my mind.
You know, my first, I would think that I left my earbuds in because I sleep with my Bluetooth earbuds in my ears now. At first, I would be like, oh my God, I left them in. But then imagine reaching up to your ear and there's nothing in there.
There's nothing there. And then you turn over in bed and there's someone there that you don't expect.
No, sometimes I leave them in and they stay in until morning. Magically, they just stay in my ears. And my earbuds read me text messages from my phone.
Oh my God.
And the other day, I woke up to a text message from my sister-in-law that was like, I don't care if Gen Z drinks cold brew in the winter. I will only drink it in the summer.
Kathleen, no wonder you're not sleeping well. Your phone is literally talking to you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because I like to listen to crackling fire noises as I go to sleep at night.
I'm going to text you in the middle of the night, go to fucking bed, Kathleen, so that your earbuds can read it to you.
And it's going to be like, bing, a text message from Bethany. Go to fucking bed, Kathleen.
I'm doing that tonight. I'm doing that tonight. Okay, this is really, really creepy. Esmarine says on Reddit, one night in particular, I was lying in bed trying to fall asleep, not tired. I'd been lying in bed for a while, deep in thought, thinking about God only knows what, when suddenly I heard what seemed to be an inaudible yet audible robotic voice. I'm not sure what the voice said, but my name was the only thing I could almost clearly make out. I'm pretty sure that it was speaking English, but I could be wrong. It sounded like English, but how I feel English would sound like to a non-speaker. The voice didn't radiate any type of emotion or negativity, but I could sense an urgency in it. So sort of like...
That's when the spirits are speaking to you.
That's when the angels are talking to you in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend once who asked a non-native speaker what they thought English sounded like to people who don't speak English.
Yeah.
And then the non-native speaker said something like, "Ow, wow, ow, ow." My own being ow, blah, blah, is what English sounds like if you don't understand it.
I understand that.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we're lazy too. We slur our words. We have so many. I get it.
So imagine waking up in the middle of the night and you hear a robot voice going like, "Enow, Kathleen, ne bow, wong, ne ow."
So we've talked about on this podcast before hearing things and wake, because I used to regularly hear my name. Like I used to take a nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I would hear, "Kathleen."
Yes, yes, I've heard that too.
Like there is somebody standing next to me saying my name. And you and I chalked it up to maybe like their spirits, but maybe it's all just exploding head syndrome.
That makes total sense because I've definitely heard my name screamed.
Yes.
And I wake up and there's no one there.
Is it because we're obsessed with ourselves and we just love hearing our name?
I think we're obsessed with ourselves. Okay, just a couple more comments because I just really love these. This person on Reddit says, "My theory is exploding head syndrome is really just hyper-aware humans getting as close as possible to whatever is outside the quote-unquote matrix without being obligated to take the red pill. Perhaps we're hearing the voices beyond our little incubators that we're nestled in so tightly, or perhaps not. Perhaps it's just a weird phenomenon that occurs deeply within our brains that humans have labeled exploding head syndrome. Either way, it's very strange and beautiful and scary."
First of all, what's the red pill?
Have you seen The Matrix?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a Matrix thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we know, scientists have told us, that we only use a very small percentage of our brain.
That's actually not true.
Really?
Yeah. So that's one of those, like, you've heard it enough times, and so we all assume it's true, but it's not true.
What percentage of our brains do we use? I'm looking it up right now. According to a survey from 2013, 65% of Americans believe that we only use 10% of our brain, but this is just a myth. Oh my God, this is from Medical News Today.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we've been told it so many times. The movie Lucy told it, the whole movie Lucy is based on that whole premise.
Wait, is that the one with Natalie Portman?
It's either Natalie Portman or Scarlett Johansson.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
No, it's just Lucy. It came out like... I don't know, a decade ago.
Oh, so, I was going to say that I was upset that we haven't advanced more in science to use more of our brain, but apparently I was believing a lie.
Yeah. No, I believed it too until very recently. This is what another person hears. This is so creepy. I love it. They say, "I have a similar phenomena, but it sounds like old-timey radio broadcasts. I can't hear actual words, just the patterns and accent. It's like gibberish. Sometimes it's big band music. Sometimes I'll hear someone say my name, but that's very rare, like once every 2 to 3 years. It's usually when I have a fan running and it's not the sound of the fan. I'm of the opinion it has to do with the magnetic field generations of the fan." So they're like, they have a fan blowing, they're trying to sleep, and then they hear all of a sudden, like da 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 da, like big band music coming through their fan into their brain? Question mark?
Do you sleep with a fan?
Sometimes. Mm. Do you?
Neil has to sleep with a fan.
Yeah.
I prefer not to, but c'est la vie. You make compromises.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't get everything we want in a marriage, right?
You know, I feel like I would like to, if I could sign up, I would like to experience like intense exploding brain syndrome for 2 nights, maybe one. I just want to experience this, don't you?
But didn't you say you have?
Yeah, it's to a very small degree, but I want to hear the cymbals. I want to hear the explosions.
Yeah.
I want to hear the big band music. I want to hear Queen.
Here's the one you don't want. This is the last one.
Okay.
This would end me. I'd burn my house down. Beaters 3 months ago said, I love that name. They said, "A few days ago, I was talking with my boyfriend because I was falling asleep. Mm. And I hear a robot voice telling me, everything is fake, 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 fake."
First of all, you nailed that creepy voice.
It scared I read it at night and it scared the hell out of me.
I'm going to steal that clip from this podcast and make a sound effect. Everything is fake, 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 fake.
It's awful. Can't you? Okay, so we're going to reenact this. So, like, this person said they were talking with their boyfriend, but we're just going to be quiet.
Okay.
So we're just going to be quiet.
Okay.
You're just having a nice time.
Oh, I'm going to change the channel.
Everything's good.
I'm going to take a sip of my tea. Yeah. Oh, this is a good movie.
So scary.
Imagine waking somebody up like that. I'm going to do that to my husband tonight.
And then you can say to him, honey, it's not my fault. It's a natural phenomenon.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and think that there are bugs? I do that all the time.
Because you feel them or you see them?
I'm dreaming that I'm covered in spiders. Ugh. And then I wake up and I start like shaking out the sheets and like brushing off my
skin. Oh, that's terrible. No, thank you. Oh, you poor thing. Is that your Lexapro again?
Is that, maybe. BuzzFeed posted this thing the other day. It was this girl talking about, she's like, I'm 24. I've never been kissed. And I always have dreams about kissing boys. But our lips never meet because my brain hasn't yet made those neuron connections of lips touching. And she's like,
so cool.
In her dream, the lips, they get really close to each other, but they never touch.
Do you remember your first kiss?
Yeah.
Do you remember feeling like, oh, lips feel weirder than I thought? I remember being surprised at how soft they were.
I'm trying to think. Like the first makeout was with John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was a tender person. My first like kiss though, probably was just like a quick peck.
Oh, my first kiss was also my first makeout, and I was shocked because he was a hockey player, so he was like rough, but I remember being so surprised at how soft his lips were.
I have a thing for hockey players too. Neil's a hockey player, and then two of my favorite boyfriends in high school are hockey players too.
Yeah, his name was Jim. I'm not going to say his last name because he probably doesn't want to be called out. Our first kiss lasted 4 hours.
It was what?
Long. Very long. I learned everything I need to know in that masterclass.
You made out for 4 hours?
Sure did.
Did you have a face after?
No, I did not. No.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Miss Bethany.
Yes, Miss Kathleen.
So you said in your opener that you are addicted to home magazines.
Yeah.
And I know you've been thinking about painting the tile in your kitchen
on the floor? No. But I am obsessed with people who are painting their floors. Like there was this article about all of the different ways you can make your floor look amazing if you don't have money to retile it or get new wood or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people are taking plain white inexpensive tile and they're like painting different geometric shapes on it, or they're painting They're stenciling, yeah. Or they're painting it a bunch of different colors and then flipping the tile over so they can't see what color each one is, and then just laying them in. And so sometimes you get like three blue tiles in a row, or sometimes they're super random just to, you know, change it up a bit. So now I'm obsessed and I wish I could paint my floor.
I couldn't flip it over. I couldn't let the fate of the gods figure out where my color tile placement was going
to
be.
Yeah, I know. It's terrifying. But when you try to control it too much, then all of a sudden you're going to realize like the pattern you had in mind isn't working out all of a sudden. And now you're completely effed. And instead, they're just letting, you know, they're letting Jesus take the wheel, their tiling.
I have a question to ask you.
Anything.
Okay, because my house is in shambles right now.
Okay.
And I don't, it just happened. I just woke up one morning. I was like, fuck, there's stuff everywhere. Mm. Do you tidy up every day?
No. Yes. Most days. Yeah, it has to be pretty clean because if my house is dirty, my brain can't function.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I wake up in the morning, I have enough things stacked against me that I put there myself, like in order to like just get through the day, that having a messy house is like something I can actually control. So I try to keep things off the floor and pretty clean generally.
I need to do that.
Kathleen, I would highly recommend
doing
like one room at a time in your apartment. And the word I love is ruthless. I heard someone in an article say, be ruthless about what you're keeping and what you're getting rid of. And, you know, they were saying it in terms of clothing. Like if it's something you wouldn't buy today, if you saw it in the store, don't keep it, donate it. And if it's something, whether you're not sure if you should keep it or not, be ruthless about it. Get rid of it. Donate it. You know?
You know that's bullshit because you and I are both hanging on to shit that we wouldn't buy today.
I know. Totally. But I did get rid of some things that I wasn't sure if I should because I was like, you got to be ruthless. You don't have this kind of space in your apartment. You live in Manhattan. What the hell?
One of the boxes that came was my new Fenty foundation.
Do you love it?
I do.
I love it.
I do.
You look great.
Thank you. Because you know what? It comes in so many different colors.
Mm-hmm. She has a very inclusive shade range.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm loving it. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, Kathleen, speaking of things that you love, I have a quiz for you. And for you at home, gentle listener, you can play it alone or with your colleagues as a team building exercise. So, gentle listener, over the weekend, I suddenly got a flurry of texts between Kathleen and Dennis. I was at Ariel and they were talking about You've Got Mail. Mm-hmm. The Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks vehicle.
Yeah, no, vehicle, award-winning film.
All right. Why were you texting him about You've Got Mail?
Because Dennis was watching movies on Sunday, and he said that he was going to watch something with Tom Hanks.
Okay.
I was like, well, if you're in a he was going to watch The Da Vinci Code.
Okay, classic.
Great movie.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're in a Tom Hanks mood, you might as well pull the trigger and watch You've Got Mail.
You should pull the trigger. Okay. All right. Well, we didn't.
Yeah, I figured.
We opted to watch Hobbs and Shaw and Winchester instead. However, because you love You've Got Mail so much, I decided to quiz you on which you knew more about. You've Got Mail.
Okay.
Or your life and podcasting partner, Bethany Watson. Okay. So.
Okay.
I have six questions on each.
I'm so excited, Bethany. This is a challenge.
I'm going to keep score.
Okay.
Here we go.
But what if I don't know anything?
This is the risk that you run.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start with You Got Mail.
Okay.
Some of these are fun behind the scenes things. Some of these are like facts. Okay. Question number one, vis-a-vis You've Got Mail.
Okay.
What was the movie based on? And this is multiple choice.
Okay.
Was it A, 1936 Hungarian play called Parfumerie? B, a 1980s one-woman show called Not So Rad, or C, an urban legend about a spinster desperate to marry?
Parfumerie, A.
Do you know this for a fact or are you guessing?
I know this for a fact, but that's actually a trick question because Parfumerie, then a movie was made about Parfumerie called The Shop Around the Corner, and that I think that might have been a play and then a movie, and then You've Got Mail was based on both of those two things.
Wow, very well done. Thanks. You got that correct.
Thank you. Oh
my All God. Right.
Yes.
Number two, what did Meg Ryan not have before making You've Got Mail?
Okay.
Was it A, Tom Hanks's phone number, B, a working knowledge of the Upper West Side, or C, a computer?
C, a computer.
You are correct.
Yes. I mean, 1994, not that many people had computers.
Yeah. She told Vanity Fair, I got my first computer when I did that movie. I think that the company gave us a computer.
You know what? I take that back. I think it was it came out in 97, probably filmed in late 1995.
Wow.
Early 1996. Okay. Probably the fall of 95. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. And AOL came out in the beginning of 1995, I believe, or it was widely distributed then.
My friend Sherry and I loved our English teacher so, 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 so much that we would take AOL CDs from Target and we would throw them onto his lawn at night. And that was how we showed our affection. And looking back on that, I'm very sorry, Mr. Rainey. That was an inappropriate thing to do. We also once found a sink and left it in his front yard and wrote on it, "Hey, here's your sink back. Sorry it took so long. From your old college buddy."
Was his name actually?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
You went to Target back then? You had a Target?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
We were doing this in, the late 90s. We had a Target.
Wow. You're so lucky. No way. I didn't even know about Target until the early 2000s.
Whoa.
AOL CDs, lol.
Man, remember those
were they used to give them away for free and you get like a month for free and then you'd have to keep playing and then your parents were like, "What is this charge on my credit card?"
Yeah, and they just had them sitting in bins in the front of Target and you could take as many as you wanted. We took a lot. Okay, so let's see. You have two so far. Well done. Two out of two. Thanks. Number three, this is a knowledge question. Uh-huh. At the beginning of the movie, Kathleen's boyfriend, Frank, is talking about one state's workforce strike. Which state is this? Is it Washington, Florida, or Virginia?
Virginia.
Well done. Yeah.
Frank, and Frank's in love with his typewriter, and he like writes a column, but he always wants to write it on his typewriter instead of his computer because he thinks he's a purist.
Wow. That's a Tom Hanks thing. Is that the character? Is his character Frank?
No. Frank is the boyfriend that she meets before Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is Joe Fox. Meg Ryan is Kathleen Kelly. And then Frank is just like the one that she breaks up with. And then she falls in love with Tom Hanks.
Do you love the movie because the character's name is Kathleen?
Bethany, duh.
Okay.
I mean, how many things were books or movies where the name character's name is Kathleen? Nothing.
I don't know.
I mean, I Bethany. One. How many are named Bethany in movies and books? Not that many either.
Zero that I can think of off the bat. Okay. Lots of Beths, not a lot of Bethanys. Okay, next question. Annabelle was Joe's aunt, sister, or godmother?
Aunt. They're a modern family.
Well done.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know any of
Joe's grandfather had a baby with a much younger woman, and the baby was Annabelle. So that technically makes Annabelle, who's Annabelle's probably 6 or 7 in the movie, that makes her Tom Hanks, who's a grown man, her aunt.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is not multiple choice. You just have to know this.
Okay.
How many hours per day does Joe's dog Brinkley sleep on his pillow?
So I just have to know this. Yeah. So he's writing this in an email to Meg Ryan. He's like, "Well, Brinkley, you know, we get up, we go for a walk, and then he spends the rest of the 21.
Close. 18.
Ah, darn it.
Okay. So you didn't get that one. Here's the last one.
Okay.
What type of flower was embroidered on Kathleen's handkerchief that her mom made for her?
Easy peasy daisies. It's her favorite flower.
Wow. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. And then when she gets sick, Joe Fox shows up at her door and he's like, "I brought you daisies. They're your favorite flower."
Wow.
And she's always like, you know, oh, because Annabelle has a cold. She sneezes and Kathleen Kelly's like, "Here, Annabelle, use my handkerchief. See, my mother embroidered daisies on this." People don't use handkerchiefs anymore. What's wrong with people? Why aren't they old fashioned? Old fashioned things are so charming.
And Annabelle is a 6-year-old aunt.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. That girl should wash her hands if she's always sick. Okay.
They're a modern family.
Here's some trivia about your friend / business partner, Bethany. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
How old was I when I got my first kiss?
18.
Yes. Well done.
You're welcome.
Did not think you'd remember that.
I know a lot about you.
Okay. Number two. This is multiple choice. What animal am I the most terrified of? A, mouse. B, centipede. C, cockroach.
Cockroach. C.
Incorrect.
Centipedes?
Most afraid of centipedes. And I love mice. They are wall puppies.
Are you afraid that someone's going to sew your mouth to the back of a centipede butt and then you're just going to be crawling around like a centipede caboose forever?
My nightmare. I will make like I can't even talk. They are so frightening. Really? I can't even talk about them.
I have never had centipedes before I moved to Hoboken. Like, there are a lot of centipedes in the buildings that I've lived in here.
And they're so good. I know that they're better than traps at killing cockroaches and like pest control. They're amazing. You're supposed to let them live and keep them. And I'm fine to let them live, but please stay the hell away from my vision. I cannot look. There's too many legs. There's too many legs. They could crawl into my mouth and there's nothing I could do.
Well, I know when I'm going to show up as a singing animal gift-a-gram to your house, the singing centipede.
I don't care. Look, if I know it's you, I'm going to have to punch you in the throat. Like, I don't care. I can't be controlled. Okay.
Yeah.
What state did I live in before moving to New York?
Was it Texas?
It was Texas.
Yep. Bethany, these are softballs. Come on,
okay,
man.
Okay. All right. Which is not a profession of someone I've slept with in the past.
Ooh, this is hard.
I've slept with the following people except one of these.
Okay.
A barista.
You definitely slept with a barista.
B, a pilot. Or C, a circus performer.
Okay, it's a pilot.
Yeah, you're right. It's a pilot.
Yeah, because okay. I know you had sex with, you had that threesome with those acrobats.
Okay, number five.
Yeah.
Number five?
Uh-huh.
Number five.
Yeah.
What color have I not dyed my hair? Mm-hmm. Is it A, black, B, green, or C, peach?
Peach.
Nope, it is black.
Really?
I've never dyed my hair black. Mm-hmm. Okay. Too hard to get out.
But you're a goth.
I was, but I still went deep, 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 deep purple auburn because my dad said no black. Mm-hmm. All right, lastly, and this is an easy one. What's the F word that I refuse to use in my daily life?
The F word, that fart.
Yeah, you're correct. Wow, so you tied. 5-5.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm almost an expert on You've Got Mail and Bethany.
I'm very impressed, Kathleen. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
By the way, those questions came from Mental Floss and from Fun Trivia. I will link them in the show notes. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that allspice isn't just a mix of other spices. Didn't you think that allspice was just all the spices?
Yeah, I just thought it was all spices. What is it?
Okay, it's its own thing. It's its own thing. Yeah, so I guess, okay. Although it smells like cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice is actually a fruit that's picked, dried, and sold as either whole berries or ground up into its own spice.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not all the spices.
It's not all spices.
It's its own spice. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, I learned that if you hate your floor and you're looking to renovate your floor, one of the really cool things you can do is if you have a wood floor, but it's kind of gross looking, take all of the sealant off and then paint a checkerboard pattern, but just paint the white. So that the what would normally be like the black or the red is the wood.
Very cool.
And then you have white. And so it's like a wood and white checkerboard. And then you can distress it a little bit and it looks beautiful. There was this article on my favorite home website, domino.com, non-spawn. And they showed this and it's so beautiful. And then you put the really heavy duty seal on top.
Yeah.
It's such a cool look for your home. I wish I could do it. I would do it in a second.
So farmhousey.
Very farmhousey, but so like in a new way, not like in an early 2000s way.
You know what would be really cool? If you did it with chalk paint so it looked really matte, and then you did the clear sealant that's shiny over all of it, and I wonder what that effect would be.
I think that's what they did because it looked really, it looked lived in.
Yeah.
So I think it was a chalk paint, not like a high gloss or even a satin.
Oh my God, you're turning me on.
I love chalk paint.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany and on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
You can follow me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our podcast. We're on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. You know, the fan group this weekend, they did a Zoom hangout where it was called PowerPoint Zoom, and people presented topics that were freaking hilarious.
That's amazing.
Like Marilyn Monroe is she really dead? yeah, she is, but I would like to hear your case as to why you think she's not.
I know. Well, there's the Amelia Earhart, the conspiracy theory that she actually survived the crash and lived in New Jersey under a different name for years and years and years.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past New Jersey. Wouldn't.
You can find our show on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
If you would like to send us electronic mail, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send us snail mail, you can do so at An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
And at the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. And if you would like to leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media. Twitter is at Shargar. And Instagram is lit_fuck.
And if you've seen any of our videos on social media, they are all edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social at Dennis Callow, DennisCallo.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Devin. This is my first time calling. Now, I am quite a few episodes behind, but I just heard you talk about a show called Call Me Cat, which is new. But I don't know if you know, that show is based off of a British show called Miranda. It is one of my all-time favorite shows, and I think you would both love it. It's about this woman named Miranda. She's not, you know, stereotypically pretty. She's kind of an oddball. And she's just kind of living her life, has a crush on the guy next door. And it's just amazing. If you're ever feeling sad or down about yourself, or if you just want to laugh so hard you will cry, please give it a watch. It is on Amazon Prime and I think Hulu. I promise you won't regret it. And let me know what you think, if you like it or not. Okay, have a great day, ladies. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. My name is Jenny, and I'm calling you. I've had a couple drinks, but I just wanted to let you know that I feel like I'm listening to my girlfriends, and I'm not here drinking and cooking alone. I already messed up my corn chowder, so I'm pretty upset about it, but whatever. You girls make anything fun for me, and I love that. Bye, girls. Love you.
Hi, ladies. This is Lindsay from Colorado. And Bethany, I have to say, I completely understand where you're coming from on the stuffed animal front. I have always had issues getting rid of them. I usually end up adopting them out to close friends or family. But if you don't have anyone that will take your stuffed animals, I would be happy to adopt them for you and either hold on to them myself or make sure they have good homes. You just let me know. I would be happy to be their adopted mother. Thanks so much, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Jackie from Belleville, Illinois. I had to call because Bethany was talking about getting rid of stuffed animals, and I'm 36 years old, and I will not touch a stuffed animal that is at any store to buy because my sister and I decided when we were little kids that if you touched a stuffed animal in the store and left it there, then you were letting it down because it thought it was getting a good home, and it would be disappointed. To this day, I won't touch a stuffed animal unless I intend to buy it. So being crazy is hard.
Hey, ladies, this is Taste Bud Sarah, RE Metal Detectors and Stuffed Animal Sentimentality. So metal detectors, I got mine a couple years ago really cheap from Harbor Freight. I'm almost positive it was less than $50 because I am a cheap bitch. And I don't know how, like, well it works. You know, I'm not into, like, figuring out what the sounds mean and stuff. And mostly I've just found nails and boring stuff. But I had to go home for some medical stuff this winter, and my dad had lost his wedding ring, which is actually my grandfather's wedding ring, taking the trash out. It was just, like, in the grass on the sidewalk, and I was like, well, bring the metal detector home. And guess what? We found it. Very cool. As far as the stuffed animals go, no advice on throwing them out, but Bethany, you said you just need somebody to cut their heads off. Maybe you could just, like, spray them with catnip, maybe tie some ribbons on them if you're feeling really ambitious, and give them to Loki and Minerva to love. Because if your cats love anything the way my cats love things, they will eviscerate those animals for you. And it might be easier to throw them off. Okay, that's all I got.
Hey, ladies. Taste Bud Maureen here. I was just listening to you guys about the inventions that should be invented or that have not been invented that you're angry about. I'm angry that there's no combination laundry machine and dryer in one thing. Like, it is such a hassle to have to pick it up from one machine to put it in another and remember that, oh, shit, I got to put the wet laundry in the dryer. Like, it's annoying. Or the laundry that's stacked up on top of each other, the washing machine that's in the dryer that's on the bottom or vice versa. Why can't they just invent a trap door that's underneath and then it just automatically just goes, boom, into the dryer? I don't have to think about it. It is 2021. Where's my invention, Whirlpool, GE? Are y'all listening? Like, this could make so much money. Anyway, love you guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Hi, everyone. It's Taste Bud Tia from Idaho. I'm actually calling in reference to Bethany's stuffed animal problem. So I majorly have this problem. So I have a heart condition that I had discovered when I was 2. Well, I didn't discover it. My family did. Anyway, so I was in and out of the hospital. I've had like 4 heart operations. And when you're a little girl in the hospital, what do people send you? Stuffed animals. So I'm not kidding you. Growing up, I had my whole room. I was buried in stuffed animals. And eventually, you know, as I got older, there were definitely ones that I decided to get rid of. And then there were ones that I actually decided to keep. So my best advice is actually no advice. I kept the ones that actually really, really meant something to me. And the other ones, I actually had someone else get rid of for me. So I said goodbye to them, and I made the other person get rid of them. I told them not to tell me what they did with them. That way, it's a little bit of a separation. I know it doesn't help very much at all, but the ones that did actually mean something to me and I remember deeply, I still have those. I'm trying to pass them on to my 8-year-old son, who doesn't find as much joy in them. And every time we clean out his stuffed animals, he's always like, wait, I guess we have to keep this one because it's mom. So anyway, I decided to call and share that I do have that stuffed animal anxiety as well. So sorry I wasn't much help, but I feel you, girl. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, it's Taste Bud Jessica. I'm listening to the episode where you're talking about ways to stay productive while feeling depressed. By the way, this has been super helpful for me because totally been struggling with it right now. But I also wanted to mention, at one point, one of you said something about the, while you're watching commercial. I think it's Kathleen, and she's like, yeah, while you're watching commercials. And she's like, wait, no one watches TV commercials. I actually will make it a point to select watching my Hulu Live because that has commercials because it's live TV. I will select you. I will like sit down and be like, okay, am I going to watch a show, one of my shows on Netflix, or am I going to watch Hulu Live that has commercials? And I will make that choice to watch Hulu Live with commercials so I can, so it gives me a break to say like, all right, I'm going to sit on the couch all day, but every time there's a commercial, I'm going to go in the kitchen and do one dish, or I'm going to, every time there's a commercial, I'm going to go run and throw some laundry in. So people do that still. There are still commercials. But totally helped. And thanks for doing this topic. It was super helpful. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.